times when he can be a bully. There are times when he can be unpleasant. But when you need him, boy, is he wonderful to have. And somebody had mentioned a fireman. What about the policeman? What about the guy who say when you're walking down a dark street and some, you know, three or four big guys come at you in the middle of the night? Isn't it really, really a good thing when a police cruiser comes around the corner just in time? Anybody ever experienced that?
No.
No? That's so funny. One time, I'll tell you a story. One time, I was driving a cab when I was young, and I was in New York, and I picked up a couple of guys, and it was in Greenwich Village, and they told me to go uptown somewhere, and they pulled me over. You guys may not know New York City, but anyway, they took me to a neighborhood that wasn't all that great, and I knew. As soon as they got in the car, and once they're in, you can't get them out. So I knew that I was in trouble as soon as they were in the car, and I didn't know what exactly to do about it. But anyway, so they told me to go up this particular avenue. It was about maybe 11 o'clock at night. It was Saturday night. Plenty of people around, but still, it was a darkish street. And when they got out, as soon as I knew that when we stopped and the time came to pay, that I was going to be in trouble. So anyway, as we came up the street, there was a patrol car that was parked about a block or so from where they told me to stop. I pulled up right behind the patrol car, and I turned around and I grinned at them. And they grinned at me, and they paid me politely, and they got out and left. So that was my ver. I mean, they, and those cops didn't even know I was there. They just had to be who they were. And as far as I'm concerned, there are times when nothing will do it, like a Knight of Swords. In a situation like that, a King of Swords isn't much good. If there had been a judge sitting on the corner, it wouldn't have done me any good at all.
I'm seeing him also making a great ambulance driver.
Absolutely. God, how many of you saw, what was that movie?
Bringing Out the Dead.
Oh, Bringing Out the Dead with Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now there's a perfect Knight of Swords for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we have established in general that the knight can be a pretty decent sword. Oh, but let me ask you, give me an example of where the Knight of Swords might not be so decent. Anybody? Anybody have
in a diplomatic situation.
Give me an example.
I can't see him being Kissinger. I see him maybe leaping in and saying the wrong thing because he's impulsive.
Oh, fabulous. In other words, what you've got here is a person who doesn't use, who isn't interested in calm. This is not a calm person.
He might lack tact or discretion.
Absolutely,
yeah,
no
could
tact
be
or
cruel,
discretion.
Right. Cruel, verbally cruel, berating, attacking verbally.
They're again talking about policemen. There are plenty of times when a cop will pull you over and be really nasty. And any number of people we've seen on the news have been on the short end of a short and rather nasty stick. And the cops then are not so much fun. And the knight, you know, on the knight in shining armor on the horse can just as soon cut your head off as look at you. So there are times, yeah.
And he could be passionately involved in some kind of cause and just cut down everything in his way.
Absolutely.
Right.
The knights in general have a tendency to be in service to some cause. They are usually under orders. They're usually under some command. Usually. They're in somebody's pay. They belong to some cause or other. That's why they're heroes. That's why they are crusaders and stuff, because they're fighting for a cause as a rule. Not always a good cause, but they're fighting for some kind of cause. So if that's the case, what would you imagine the relationship between the king and the knight to be like?
It might be a bit adversarial.
Say that again?
In some instances, it could be a bit adversarial.
Absolutely. Give me an example.
Father and teenage son.
Great, perfect, perfect. Talk about how about a judge and an uppity lawyer? How about a mayor or a police chief or even a police captain, and some hotshot rookie how many of you have seen the Dirty Harry movies?
Yeah.
Remember Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry?
Mm-hmm.
His superiors were always. They didn't know what to do. They were throwing up their hands to heaven because this guy was totally unmanageable. A Knight of Swords, for sure, who simply wouldn't take discipline. So, and of course, his superiors were always in the position of trying to rein him in. So a King of Swords would have to certainly do that to a Knight of Swords. And yet, the King of Swords pretty much is the one who hires the Knight of Swords. The king is the one who sets the knight out on his journey.
No, I know it's a gender swap, but ever since you mentioned the sex, I keep seeing the Knight of Swords also as Joan of Arc.
Absolutely. Can you imagine how Joan of Arc went over with the authorities in those days? I mean, it wasn't for nothing that she was burned at the stake. Not so much because of any religious thing. Maybe the men couldn't stand her.
Well, it's the power. I mean, anyone who has power who's intimidated by somebody else who's going to threaten their power, they're going to behead them or...
Absolutely. So, when a Knight of Swords gets out of hand, the first thing you got to do is put him away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a rogue, like any kind of a rogue elephant or whatever.
Factor him out of the equation.
Yeah.
What is the butterfly? What's the significance of the butterfly?
Well, the butterfly is a couple of things. Now we're getting into the kind of the esotericism of it. I'll do it just for a second. Butterflies, of course, are one of many symbols of air. If you take a look, you'll see that in all of the cards, up in the upper sort of, I guess, upper right-hand corner of the cards, there's a bird or several birds.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that every one of the cards has clouds in it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that all but one of the cards have trees that are windblown. The king is the only one that doesn't, and there's a reason for that. The butterfly is one of the other. There are on the knight's cloak and stuff. There are birds woven in as symbols, and the butterflies can be found on the throne and in the crowns of the king and the queen. So butterflies, in addition to everything else.
The horses
on the horse's neck. I don't know what they call that thing around his neck, but anyway.
Breastplate.
Huh? Well,
breast
something
plate.
Like that. That whatever it is around his neck, you can see butterflies there. So all of those things in general.
Why doesn't the page have any butterflies, or is there one that I don't see?
No, the page does not have a butterfly, and I tell you honestly why they didn't stick a butterfly in there, I'm really not 100% sure, but the butterfly, if I remember right, the butterfly is the crest, is the esoteric crest of the queen. In the Golden Dawn system from which this deck is derived, each one of the court cards, each one of the 16 court cards has a crest. And the crest of the Queen of Swords is the butterfly. The crest of the King of Swords, and if you take a look at the card carefully, you'll see it. The crest of the King of Swords is the winged child. We don't really have time to go into the details of why a winged child, but if you look on his throne and also on his crown, you will see the winged child, sort of, hidden away there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The crest serves certain purposes, and I don't really know how to describe that to you at this point. Just be aware that they're there. So in general, there's the reference to air, and in particular, the butterfly is the queen's crest. Let me do a couple of other things with you now. Oh, well, you know what we haven't done? I take it back. What we haven't done is go through some of the other pairs. Take a look at the knight and the queen. What do you think the relationship between the knight and the queen might be?
Mother and son.
Okay, that's the first thing. What else?
Lovers.
Yeah. Ta-da! There is, if you want to go to another level of the language of tarot, especially when it comes to the court cards, now we're getting into psychology. The relationship between the knight, the queen, and the king could be called Oedipal.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
There is a series of elemental associations. Each one of the court cards, each one of the ranks, leaving aside the suit, each one of the ranks is associated with one of the elements. And the queen is almost everywhere associated with water. And the page everywhere, or the princess, is associated with earth. But the knight and the king have a problem. There are some esoteric systems that give the element of air to the knight and the element of fire to the king. And they say the king represents the element of fire. And there's some that say the knight. And the reason for that is a question of father and mother, and the father being the progenitor. The father is the origin of everything. The father's seed starts the whole ball rolling, and the queen's womb produces everything. And so, presumably, since the king and the queen are married, the king is the father and produces everything. However, the knight can be said to be and that's why the king is associated with fire, by the way. So the knight can be associated with fire because of this. It can be said that the role of the father is divided into two parts. There is the progenitor, the biological father, the one who makes love, produces pregnancy, and disappears over the hills. And then there is a father who is home all the time, the father who raises the child, the father who's the good father and the role model. Well, the father who is the biological father is thought to be the knight, the sower of the seed. The relationship between the knight and the queen, as you mentioned, is one of passion. The relationship between mother and son is one of passion. Only in the sacrament of marriage does that problem of what would you call it, trying to think of the word, incest, get settled. You get married in front of everybody, and all of a sudden the natural psychological incestuous relationship between lovers becomes acceptable. When the knight has a child, it is said that the child becomes the king. The child inherits the role of the knight, the child inherits the natural authority of the father and grows up to be the adult version of the knight and takes on the position of the king. It's always true in feudal society, and one of the things that this deck represents, or the court cards represents, is a feudal society. The knights came first, the kings came later. The kings were only the first among equals. The king was the first knight in the land, but the knights were there first. The knights were the ones who carved out the aristocracy from which the king eventually derived. So from that point of view, the knights are fire, the knights are first. Now look at the relationship between knight and king, and what do you see? Now you have an Oedipal relationship. You have a relationship, as somebody pointed out, of rivalry, sometimes rivalry to the death. Even though they're sometimes allies, and sometimes the king is a very good father and the knight is a very dutiful son, but you have those nuances. Now take a look at the relationship between the king and the page, and what do you see? Anybody? Marge, take a look at the king and the page. Remember that the page is considered to be the daughter and the king the father. Now what do you have to say about them?
Well, I guess I'm going to hold tight rein on what she does.
Yes, for one thing, the king is the older teacher and the page is the younger student. One of the things about a page, we haven't really gone into the page yet at all. Come to think of it, we haven't done this yet. But the page, I think we should do that first. The page is the perpetual student. The page is always the young one, the one at the beginning of the road. How many of you, even to this day, occasionally find yourself in the position of a page?
Oh, yeah.
Right. From a certain point of view, from the way you've described your feelings about this class, you come into it with that sort of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here I am, the great dispenser of wisdom, such as it is, and you guys are all listening, and you're not about to say anything until you've heard what I'm going to say first, for fear that something might go wrong. So anyway, from a certain point of view, there's that relationship, that the king and the page are teacher and student. And but the page occasionally is rebellious. The page is a child. The page doesn't always want to obey the rules. The page doesn't always want to take instruction. Sometimes the page thinks it knows better than the king. So there is a certain amount of tension between them sometimes. As somebody pointed out, the king occasionally has to chastise both the knight and the page. The younger ones have to be beaten about the head and ears occasionally to make them listen up. But if you take the page in the position of daughter, and you think of the king in position of father, what is the normal psychological understanding of the relationship between father and daughter? Anybody?
The teacher, the protector.
Okay.
You mean like an Electra complex?
Yeah, well, you have exactly, in other words, what you have, yeah, exactly, what you have is the parallel to the mother-son arrangement. You have a relationship between king and page that on a certain level, although it's not shown in the pictures here, by implication, is the incestuous relationship between father and daughter. And incestuous can be by implication, not necessarily in fact. How many, now there are lots of women on this in this class. How many of you have good relationships with your father?
I do.
Okay. How many of you dearly love your father?
Wow,
that's interesting. Okay. Because sometimes, how many of you remember when you were little girls having a close relationship with your father? Because there is some, I have seen it said that there is no relationship in the world closer and dearer than the relationship between father and daughter when it's good. It's a love relationship, not necessarily a sexual one at that time, but based on a deep sexuality, which doesn't show itself that way, but shows itself as care, concern, and connection. So there's a deep emotional connection between the king and the page.
And from a psychology standpoint, they said that women's self-esteem is predicated in the relationship that she had with her dad.
That's right, absolutely. So now look at the relationship between the page, the queen, and the king. And tell me if you don't see a potential rivalry between the page and the queen. So in other words, what you have in the court is all of the passions, all of the alliances, all of the potential rivalries inside of any family, and of course inside of any court. So it makes these four characters dance around each other in a very elaborate dance. So now the question is, if a king comes up in a reading, what do you do with him?
You pray you don't get the family card.
That's right. So in other words, what you're looking at, let's say for example that you have two cards that come up in a reading. Let's say you have a king and a knight. Not a king. Let's say you have a knight and a queen coming up in the same reading. What does that suggest to you? Anybody?
A king and a knight?
Not a king and a knight. A queen and a knight.
Mother and a son.
A mother and a son is one possibility.
Or lovers.
Or lovers is the other possibility. Sometimes it could be simply two equal but opposite energies. Just imagine that the queen being an authority figure and the knight being junior, pretty much. Imagine that you personally, let's say that you thought of yourself as a queen. Let's say that you occupied the role of queen, let's say wherever you work. Let's say you're a supervisor somewhere. Is anyone of you a supervisor?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you not have among the people that you supervise somebody younger, a bit more energetic, more passionate, more unrestrained than you are, who has to be reined in periodically? No?
No.
That's interesting. Okay, because sometimes the people that you're working with are all older than you. But in any case, there are times when the queen, a woman, will have to restrain, will have to boss or control a younger man who is eager and ambitious and active, and the relationship between them can be intensely rivalrous and bitter. That's another possibility. That would pretty much depend more on which suits were involved. If you had a knight, for example, of let's say a knight of wands and a queen of swords, you might have a much bigger rivalry than if they were in the same suit. Take a look at the page of swords again. Now the page is young, and the page is bright. That's why he's the page of swords. So a page of swords, among other things, could be a prodigy, no? Somebody who is really, really smart and is even smarter than the adults. Have you never come across a mathematician, a young person with great computer skills, somebody who's really, really good with their minds? Do any of you have children?
Yes.
Do you know, since either your children or the children of anybody else that you know who have them, Have you run across children who are so bright that they make you feel nervous? Anybody ever come across a really smart kid?
Yeah.
Well, there's that wonderful adage, you know, out of the mouths of babes and to fool a child is to fool yourself. I mean, it's incredible the children that are being born, and I work a lot with children and teenagers. They are so far advanced.
Absolutely. So what you have with the page of swords is the possibility of a prodigy. Something to consider when the page comes up in a reading. If you're looking at a young person, if you're looking at a particular person, yes, possibly that. Let's take a look at the possibility of the king or the knight being present in the ladies who are in this class. Do any of you guys recognize the qualities of either the king or the knight in yourself in any way?
Uh-huh.
Is there anybody here who can say to themselves...
I recognize the knight of swords in me.
You recognize the knight of swords
yeah.
in you. Do you recognize the queen of swords in you?
That would be a balance, and maybe I should be a little more balanced.
Well, now the interesting thing is not a question of what you should be. Do you recognize the queen, the qualities of the queen, the qualities that we spoke of before, the combination of heart and mind that we described as the queen's natural form of authority? Do you recognize any of that in yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. What I want you to do now, since we've done all of this back and forth, giving you so many things to think about, so many variables, and we know that that swords in general deals with the mind, the king and the queen generally speaking are authority figures, the knight generally speaking brings change and movement and rapid alterations of circumstance, the page learns and enjoys and runs around and does stuff, and there's a combination of student and daughter, and do you remember little girls shrieking? It seems to me I can remember little girls being very fond of running around and shrieking. Boys don't do that so much. I don't know, they do some other stuff, but little girls just shriek for the sheer pleasure of it. So anyway, something along those lines. What I want you to do is to take the four court cards that you've got in front of you now, and I want you to arrange them in the order of preference, the way you like them most. I don't care why you like them. Or dislike them or whatever. Put them in order with the one with the card you like most on your left and the other cards in descending order to your right. So you're going to make a horizontal row of the four court cards and they're going to be in order. Anybody not done yet?
I can't make up my mind.
Well, you got to. Sorry, that's one of the problems of this array. You have to make up your mind, put them in order.
Make an executive decision.
Exactly. There you go.
I don't know if you can trust me.
Well, what happens when two cards are really close in the order of like is that sometimes they switch positions. So for this moment, which one do you like slightly better? That's what you have to decide. Good. Now, how many of you like the king most?
Me.
Just one. Without knowing anything more about the technology or the techniques of the array, which are quite elaborate, does that not say something interesting about you? Because remember, whatever you pick, whenever you show a preference for things in any hierarchy of possibility, you're showing some form of identity. You're identifying with what you like most. That's generally what happens. So all of you, look at what you picked first. I won't try to describe too much, but whatever you picked first among these four court cards, is that quality of mind, which is your personal strength. How many of you have the knight first?
I do.
Okay. Having said what we said, and having chosen that first, and knowing that it's your strength, the strength not of other things, but of your mind. It's a particular quality of mind, a certain headlong, a certain heroic, a certain mobile and intense kind of mental set. That's where your strength lies. For each of you, it's going to be somewhat different. Take a look at what's last. How many of you have the king last?
I did.
Several people do. When the king is last, the king is... Remember, the King of Swords in particular is the most fatherly of all the kings, and the king is, of course, the most fatherly of the cards in a court. So when the King of Swords is your last chosen king, last chosen card in the court, what you're looking at is probably a difficulty of some kind with your father. Either you didn't have a good relationship with your father in some way, or your father is dead, that is physically distant and gone from you, or possibly even physically distant, maybe lives very far away, is inaccessible for one reason or another. It could be anything from living, on the other side of the world to having Alzheimer's and not being in communication. but there is some way in which you are distant from your father is usually what's going on. And not always, but usually. It's something to look at.
I have another suggestion
yeah.
for that relationship. I guess I'm kind of surprised. This is Linda. I have the page first and the king last, and
uh-huh.
I'm really close to my dad, but we do argue a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And only since, you know, he's getting in his later years have we come to some resolve where we can laugh about the way we argue, but for the most part, it's taken a long time,
mm-hmm.
a lot of work, but we've always argued.
When the page is first and the king is last, there is a certain amount of rebelliousness. There has to be. If you ever do this array for anybody, it's a very quick way of seeing what their mindset is like. You will know by this arrangement something along those lines. The way in which you relate to your family members can be seen here. Okay, that was just a little, leave that where it is, and I'm going to give you some additional material to go away with. You remember that as part of the system of knowledge, rather than the system of personal interpretations, as a part of the system of knowledge there is in the cards, both a numerological and an astrological attribution that gives you a balance to things. The numerology of the court card is a little tricky, so I'm not going to really go into that now. It's more or less connected with Kabbalah, and I can't really deal with that right now. But we can do the astrology easily enough, and it will give you some interesting things to think about. First of all, the suit of swords is the suit of air. So each one of the four court cards is one of the cards in the astrological sign of air. Okay, there's four air signs.
Three.
I'm sorry, there are three air signs. I'm sorry, there are three air signs, and then there's just the element of air. I'm sorry about that. Of the four of these cards, the one that represents the element is the page. And the page represents the element of air and also the season of spring, the entire season. Okay? Of the remaining cards, the way it works is this. All the kings, regardless of their suit, are fixed signs. So the King of Swords is the fixed sign of air. Anybody know what that is?
Aquarius.
There you go. So the King of Swords is Aquarius. Okay. It may be that when you're doing a reading and the King of Swords comes up, that will give you more of a sense of timing than anything else. And it may be that the important thing to read from the King of Swords coming up in a reading is Aquarius, more than any of his personal qualities or psychological qualities or anything like that. It may have nothing to do with a person in your life. It may have to do with something connected with time. If, for example, you wanted to know when would be the best time for you to move? You were thinking of moving. You had all, it was up to you when you moved, but you weren't really quite sure when you should do it. And if you were to pick one card to give you a sense of time, and the King of Swords came up, you'd be talking about Aquarius. You'd be talking about January, February. That's one thing. Another thing about Aquarius is, of course, that Aquarius has certain qualities all by itself. I mean, there are astrological qualities to Aquarius that can be associated with the king as well. The queen. All the queens are cardinal signs. So what's cardinal air? Anybody?
Gemini.
No, Libra.
Libra is cardinal air.
Libra.
Right. So all the qualities that you can associate with Libra can be associated with the Queen of Swords and the time of Libra. Anybody know what the time of Libra is?
October.
There you go. So, well, it's October. It's actually the end of September. And isn't it the end of September, beginning of October? Or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. So you're talking about the early fall. When you're talking about the night, since we have the cardinal and the fixed signs figured out already, the night is clearly the mutable sign. So mutable air is Gemini. And obviously the mutable signs are the ones that that move the fastest and change the most, which is why they're associated with the nights, which are associated with change and movement. So there's how you understand the astrology of all the court cards in the deck. Knowing the system, you can apply it anywhere. For example, just to go a little bit far afield, the King of Wands. Wands, you know, is fire. The kings are fixed. So the King of Wands is fixed fire, which is what?
Leo.
There you go. So any one of the court cards, you can now find the astrological attribution for it in a split second. It's a system. It's a simple system, and it works. I might mention to you, by the way, and something to be careful of, there are, in tarot, many systems of attribution. I shouldn't say many. There are a few established systems of attribution. This is one of the best. It's simple, straightforward, it's workable, and it fits with the other ways of understanding the esotericism of tarot. But it's not the only one. You'll find small variations and occasionally large variations. For example, this works with the weight deck. Crowley has a totally different system.
Are there any symbols, Walt, that you can see that this one, that the king is Aquarius and the knight is?
Okay, this is much more hidden as a rule, not always hidden, but a little bit more hidden. For example, in the king, if you take a look at the two birds,
yeah,
to the right there, can you see the Aquarius sign?
Oh, okay, there you go, that's what I need.
Ta-da! Okay, it's not always that simple because Libra is not as clear on the queen. The only thing that I can give you in the queen that would give you Libra, as far as I can tell, is simply the uprightness of the sword. The balance of the sword, which is really, really, you know.
Okay.
She has a posture very similar to Justice.
Well, that's true.
Which is
Libra.
The Libra card.
And also the butterfly crest, which is a completely a symmetrical creature. You know, the two perfectly equal wings is another version of that.
So if I looked on the just because I'm very impressed, I knew you were a wonderful teacher, but in an hour and 15 minutes, I'm actually understanding the family card. This is a miracle.
Well, good for you. I'm delighted that it's been useful.
Yes, I'm very impressed here. But now that you got my mojo moving, I'm just trying to get ahead of myself and look at the other court cards so that I would be able to see if there's any symbol for the astrology so that I would remember which court cards are which signs.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that if I take a look at the knight, which is if you had the correspondence course, in the correspondence course it deals with a good deal of that. Not every the astrological the visual symbolism for the astrology is often there, but not always there. Sometimes, in fact, Waite had the annoying habit for some people of disguising the astrology, where he would put the wrong astrological sign on something on purpose. So as to throw you off, because it was understood in those days that, you know, this was all hidden stuff, this was all secret stuff, and nobody was supposed to know the
secret.
So
he would hide it.
Exactly. So he would hide it, he would change it around, or he would completely, do something, he would put attributions in there that were totally and completely bass-ackwards.
But
in order
the worst scenario, I could always memorize it at times.
Right, but
yeah.
the system
probably
is simple.
The easiest.
It is easier to do that, and if you do get to know the visual symbolism in the card, which unfortunately we don't have time to go over anymore, but if you do get to know that, it'll just make you feel real cool.
I feel real cool now, and I'm in...
Good.
Florida,
okay.
It must be 88 degrees in this room, so
that's
for me
so
to
funny.
Feel cool, this is another alchemy trick.
Well, actually, and talking about alchemy, well, or in elemental terms, air is a combination of warmth and moisture.
Well, we definitely have that humidity down here.
Okay, right. So anyway, we probably...
So if the king, kings are fixed, the queen is what
cardinal.
Now? Cardinal. Cardinal and knights are mutable?
Uh-huh, and the pages are the seasons.
The pages
are the seasons that are associated with their element. So the element of the element of air is associated with spring and east.
The page is east, as in the direction?
Yeah, the page is east as in the direction. Spring as in the season. Dawn as in the time of day.
Oh, okay.
Well, those aren't specifically the pages. Those are more the suit.
The page of swords happen. Well, actually, that's the suit, right.
That's
but the
suit.
Thing is,
the page is specifically the season.
The page represents the quarter. So in other words, there's a quarter of a day, which is the morning. There's a quarter of a year, which is the spring. There's a quarter of the horizon, you know, of the calendar, or not the calendar, the four corners of the earth is east. So that's why the pages are connected with that. The pages are connected with an entire quarter, and all of the associations of that quarter are associated with the page.
Right.
So that gives you, that's actually a very useful thing to know, and you can weave that very handsomely into any reading. if you know the structures of gender and age and authority and family and court and astrology, you've got a lot of different levels to work on, and they all work together really well. And your only difficulty would be picking which one is the right level to work on. And that's a matter of context. Usually, the reading will usually tell you which level to work with. And, of course, experience. You just get the hang of it. Now, let's see. We're actually just about at the end of the time. Does anybody have any question at this point?
Without getting into and opening up a Pandora's box and a box with astrology,
uh-huh.
Say something is a cardinal as opposed to mutable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that, without...
As far as I understand
right
it,
now, from last week I'm into Kabbalah, so you can only handle so much.
I don't blame
like
you.
Like a quick and easy, is there any such
well,
thing
in general,
as what a cardinal sign is?
Yeah, in general, is anybody here an astrologer?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, explain cardinal.
Okay, cardinal is the very beginning of the sign, so it's almost jumping in. It's like Aries is, you're beginning a season. Fixed is right in the middle. It's the sign is happy with itself. It's not moving. It's there. And mutable is when it's changing over into the next element. So
right.
You can sort of see it as that way.
That's wonderful.
Good.
What are fixed then?
Fixed is right in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's rooted. It's happy with itself. It doesn't want to change. It isn't starting. It isn't finishing. It's just where it wants to be.
Right. So there's a stubborn aspect to fix.
Right.
What do you mean stubborn? You're talking to a Taurus here.
Well, I've
right,
got tons
exactly.
of Scorpio, so I know exactly.
Just look at the fixed signs. We have Taurus, we have Scorpio, and we have Leo.
And
Aquarius, right. Those are the ones that are fixed. The cardinal ones are, we have Libra for air. We have Aries for fire. We have
Capricorn
for earth and
cardinal.
Sagittarius. We weren't talking about mutable. We're talking about cardinal, right? So for fire, it would be Aries, would be cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
And then did we start with cardinal? No, we did fix. We did cardinal and said the mutable ones. I know Sagittarius is mutable fire, and Pisces is mutable water, and Gemini is mutable air. That's it. No, what about mutable earth?
Oh, right.
Virgo.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So there we go. And the qualities that are associated with fixed, immutable, and cardinal can also be associated with the court cards. So you have a nice, round, tidy little kit bag of things to take away with you. So anybody, if there's anybody, by the way, who has any questions or wants any private conversation with us, we'll be here for a while. All of you, I think, have our home number in case there's anything in this that you need to talk about or any other matters. For those of you who don't have it, let me give it to you now. I'll just do it quickly, and you'll have it.